Cable Smith here to tell you about Munster Natural Dog Foods, a Texas-based company with over 75 years of experience. Munster uses locally grown grains to produce their unique 5-grain nutritional feed, essential for your dog's health. Specializing in extruded feeds, Munster's Extreme brand is the only full-line extruded horse feed on the market. Munster also makes specialty fish feeds and a PK deer ration. For a full product lineup or to find a retailer near you, visit Munster Natural Dog Foods at www.munstermilling.com.
Listen up, anglers, because you need to know about the unbeatable prices at Moe's Tackle Unlimited. Moe's is a web-based tackle supply company that offers deep, discounted prices. Lures, hooks, flies, freshwater, and saltwater, Moe's has it covered. Our goal at Moe's Tackle Shop is to provide super service, top-shelf quality, and great prices. Check us out at moestackleshop.com and enter the promo code LoneStarOutdoorShow to save an additional 10% on your order. That's www.moestackleshop.com.
Cable Smith here to tell you about my family friend, Jerry Malzahn over at Malzahn Landscape. Malzahn Landscape has been serving North Dallas University Park and Fort Worth for over 30 years and has done some of the finest landscapes in North Texas. Jerry currently has 200 beautiful specimens of red oaks, cedar elms, live oaks, and crepe myrtles that would make wonderful additions to any yard. For estate grounds maintenance or installation, call the premier landscape company in North Texas. The choice is simple. Malzahn Landscape. Call Jerry at 972-567-1950. That's 972-567-1950 today.
I'm Craig Boddington. I'd like to invite you to become a member of Dallas Safari Club, one of the world's leading hunting and conservation organizations. As a member, you'll receive Game Trails magazine, a monthly newsletter, and invitations to our monthly meetings and special activities. Join Dallas Safari Club, an international organization based in Dallas, supporting hunting and conservation worldwide. For more information, call 800-9-GO-HUNT or visit our website at www.biggame.org.
If I open doors and say yes, ma'am, up my chair and say I'll stand. Don't look down on my cowboy boots. Don't be offended by my roots. That's just Texas talking way down home.
Todd Frisch's Texas Talking, getting us underway here on this 4th of July weekend. I'm Cable Smith, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range. Hope y'all are ready for a great show this morning. We're going to start things off with Delta Waterfowl's Director of Conservation Programs, Joel Bryce. And we're going to get into a little predator control talk this morning and how it directly affects you, the Texas waterfowler. Then at the bottom of the hour, the world's premier bass angler, Kevin Van Dam, will stop by to talk a little bass fishing, and you are not going to want to miss that. Now, a couple orders of business this morning. The hypocrites over at PETA are planning a protest rally on the evening of July 12th at Lake Ray Hubbard, as the Christian Anglers Bass Association has their regular Monday night tournament. So I encourage all area anglers to head out to the Dalrock Ramp and show our support for the CABA. Every angler and outdoorsman alike is in this fight together against those who would prefer for us to never wet another line or fire another gun as long as we live. So let's rally behind the CABA and head out to Lake Ray Hubbard and show our support against the folks over at PETA, and that is Monday night, July 12th. I also need to tell you about the fishing trip we're giving away this morning. My buddy Steve Pebley over at Cooper Lake Guide Service is giving away a hybrid trip for two on beautiful Cooper Lake. The winners will also be outfitted with Game Guard's awesome microfiber vented fishing shirts. So how do you win this awesome fishing package? All you have to do is be the first caller to call in when you hear the Cooper Lake Guide Service commercial run during this morning's broadcast. The number is 214-289-7807. That's 214-289-7807. Just be the first caller, and you'll win the trip for two with Steve Pebley. And moving right along, if you haven't already heard, the Lone Star Outdoors Show is in cahoots with Southern Deer Stands, as we have officially kicked off the first annual Southern Deer Stands Deer Blind Contest. And to tell us more about the contest is my buddy Rob Griffin of Southern Deer Stands.
Well, Cable, first, I want to thank you for partnering with us on this. I think it's going to be pretty exciting. The idea for this came from really talking with a lot of our customers and, you know, just being out in the field and all these different deer camps and so forth. And everybody has got a favorite deer blind they built or a favorite story or some interesting engineering they like to brag about. And sort of like your firstborn, you know, you're always proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
We thought it would be really fun to put together a contest and have people send in their pictures, maybe stories of the deer blind that they built, their own blind, and, you know, just wrap that around the contest where there's some pretty neat prizes.
Oh, there's some great prizes. I believe three prize packages to be exact, and with sponsors like the NRA, Game Guard, and Antler Max, among others, you know, I would expect nothing less. So go ahead and tell us about the categories and some of the prizes.
Well, you're right. There's three prize packages. We put together a grand prize package for basically the best deer blind. So that's going to be based on pictures that are submitted. Second place is for the best story behind the deer blind. So, you know, again, as you know, every deer camp and every hunter I know, every outdoorsman or woman, there's always a great story behind just about any trip. So deer blinds aren't any different. And then the third prize is, this is, I think, going to be maybe one of the most fun ones to witness or to see, is the most interesting engineered deer blind.
Oh, I like the creative aspect of that category.
We've got some sponsors that have agreed to get behind it. Purina, the NRA, Lone Star Outdoor News, Game Guard Camo, D&L Farm and Home, and Max Gunworks. And so we really do appreciate them participating in this. And it ought to, you know, looking at the prizes and what the three lucky winners are going to be able to get, it's pretty exciting.
And all you have to do to enter into the first annual Southern Deer Stand Deer Blind Contest is email me at cablewaco@yahoo.com. Email me your best deer blind picture, your best story, or maybe a blueprint from your innovative deer blind design. And Rob, another cool aspect of this contest is that we're going to have a celebrity panel of outdoor personalities judge the photos for the best deer blind.
That is definitely going to make this a great kickoff to this annual contest.
No promises here, but I'm pretty sure that good old Uncle Ted is going to be willing to be one of our celebrity judges.
Well, that would be pretty cool.
Now, you can get to the contest website by going to my homepage and clicking on the banner there, or you can go there directly. Rob, what is the actual website address?
Okay, the website is www.deerblindcontest.com. It's pretty easy, and all the information is right there. And as you stated, they can contact you via email to enter, and that's going to be right on the website.
Well, Rob, I appreciate it, and I'm really looking forward to taking a look at all of these deer blind photos as they start rolling in here. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're talking predator control with Delta Waterfowl's Director of Conservation Programs, Joel Bryce, only on the Lone Star Outdoor Show, 95.3 The Range.
Because my give a damn is broken and my care about is gone. My wanna do right left last night. Left me all alone with nothing but my don't know why my where did I...
Southern Deer Stands manufactures the only high-quality, lightweight, aluminum-insulated hunting blinds on the market, providing years of use without any maintenance. That's right, no more rotting, rusting, or repairing. Just hunting. Southern Deer Stands product lineup includes tower blinds with staircases, trailer blinds, and crown blinds on skids. We also have deer blind windows, doors, tower stands, and more. Whether you need one or 20 blinds, we'll deliver and set up right on your ranch or lease. Call Rob at 214-551-1530 or visit us at www.southerndeerstands.com.
Howdy, range listeners. Les Mundy here, owner and operator of Double Diamond Outfitters, Texas premier outfitting service. I'm currently booking South Texas Trophy whitetail hunts, as well as exotic hunts for axis and fallow deer, red stag, and many others. Check out my website at www.huntdoublediamond.com to find out about my West Texas Trophy Audad and pronghorn antelope hunt. Fall whitetail hunts are going fast, so call me, Wes, at 210-602-3118, or visit huntdoublediamond.com and let me take you on the hunt of a lifetime.
Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers is running a huge special on all trailers in stock. From four-wheeler trailers to heavy-duty equipment trailers, we have a trailer for every occasion. We also sell and install the widest selection of CM truck beds in the state of Texas. Special orders and trade-ins are welcome, and we have easy financing available. Stop by one of our conveniently located stores in Aubrey, Fort Worth, or Rockwall, or visit us on the web at www.bigtextrailerworld.com. Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn. Call 817-654-9220 today.
Largemouth bass are king in Texas, and that's why anglers are choosing Spit and Fire Jigs. Check out our user-friendly website at www.spitandfirejigs.com to view an extensive selection of skirts that you can match with one of our detailed hybrid, wood, finesse, football, or screwball jig heads. The attention to detail and realistic eyes on our hybrid jig make the most versatile jig in any angler's tackle box. To date, Spit and Fire Jigs are responsible for landing 2 Texas Sharelunkers. Visit spitandfirejigs.com to order your go-to jig today. Spit and Fire Jigs, feel the fire. Every sportsman needs a gun safe to protect his gun collection, and that's why I called my buddies at ANC Gun Safes. ANC is a family-owned business that prides itself on having the best customer service policy in the industry. ANC Gun Safe specializes in Winchester safes as well as new lightly scratched or dented safes that they sell to outdoorsmen at huge discounted prices. They also guarantee safe shipping on every order. Call Adam at 817-228-1184 or check out their great selection of gun safes at www.acsafes.com. That's acsafes.com.
If you enjoy fishing, then you've got to go fishing on Lake Texoma with Brian Pritchard at Stripers, Inc. Brian has a lifetime of experience fishing Texoma and takes the utmost pride in providing the highest quality care for his customers to ensure an experience they'll never forget by becoming a friend rather than just a fishing guide. You are guaranteed to catch fish with Brian or your trip will be free. Check out his website at www.stripersinc.com or give him a call at 903-815-1609 to set up your next fishing trip.
Hi, I'm Lee Lukowski.
And I'm Tiffany Lukowski, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Like mascara, L'Oreal on her lips, a tribal tattoo just above her hips, a honky-tonkin' woman who wears her ring well.
Ray Wiley Hubbard, Cooler Than Hell, bringing us back to break here on the Lone Star Outdoor Show with a little help from my friends Lee and Tiff Lukowski. I'm Cable Smith, and we are talking hunting and fishing and everything in between. If you can catch it or kill it in the Lone Star State, we're going to talk about it right here. But as outdoorsmen and women, the name of the game really comes down to conservation, or there won't be anything left to catch or kill. So it's my pleasure to introduce Director of Conservation Programs for Delta Waterfowl, Joel Bryce. Nice to talk to you again, buddy.
Very good. Glad to be here.
For those who may not know, Delta Waterfowl is one of our country's oldest conservation organizations, and in the 1990s, y'all decided to try a new management practice, predator control, and since its inception, it's had a positive impact on the resulting success rates of prairie pothole region broods. Joel, talk a little bit about the measurable success that's come as a result of this program.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. For years and years, Delta was just a happy, hard-driving research organization trying to get, you know, good, meaningful information on duck and goose management, wetland management into the hands of managers. And that's what we did. But you're right. Starting in the 1990s, you know, we felt like there were other things that needed to be done. And one of the things that was born from our student research program was the concept of predator management. And basically the premise is that if you look at the U.S. and Canadian prairies, over 90% of the ducks coming out of the prairie pothole region come from private land, basically land that conservation purchase programs or, you know, a lot of these programs weren't able to touch. And certainly CRP is a huge bright spot in terms of conservation, waterfowl conservation on private ground. But there's just an awful lot of areas out there that have incredible breeding populations of ducks, but farmers need to farm their land, and as a country, we need that too. So what you had there is a breeding population with very little grass cover. And so just over the course of time, the 1980s, 1990s, you know, very low breeding success rates were being measured. And so we felt like, geez, you know what, and it's been known, you know, the limiting factor for these duck populations has been predators. Mm-hmm. And so the idea was, can we hire a trapper to go into highly targeted areas where we know there are incredibly high populations of breeding ducks, and can we go in there and level the playing field, reduce the predator population during that nesting season, and will the ducks respond? And we've been doing that since 1994, and the vast majority of that time period, the answer is a resounding yes. You know, you remove predators and the duck populations respond. And here we are today.
Mm-hmm. And personally, I'm a huge fan of predator control because I believe it directly affects me and every other Texas waterfowler. Y'all are based out of North Dakota, which is the northernmost state in the Central Flyway, and Texas makes up the southernmost point of the Central Flyway. Basically, you're protecting the birds that I'll be hunting this winter.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. It's definitely, where do your ducks come from? They certainly some of your ducks are from, Texas or, points immediately north, but definitely not, not the majority of what fills a duck hunter's bag in Texas each fall, that's for sure.
Joel, let's talk about the philosophy of killing one animal to ensure the survival of another. And I firmly believe that all waterfowl activists should support Delta and Ducks Unlimited. But why do you think organizations such as Ducks Unlimited shy away from the philosophy of predator control?
Well, I can tell you why we don't. I can focus on that. And if you look back on the biological, it's grounded in biology. If you go back years and years ago and you compare habitat and predator community conditions to today, and you're going to see two completely different things. You're going to see years and years ago, you're going to see a completely different predator community, and you're going to see lots more grass on the landscape and a lot more water. And so back in the day, waterfowl interacted differently with the predator community as they do today. The hatching rates of ducks were measured to been quite a bit higher than what they were in the 80s and 90s. And today, you have a landscape that is incredibly fragmented. Again, unfortunately, a necessity. When you're a duck hunter, but we, like I say, we need the farmers out there, and they need to do what they're doing. But the it's just completely different. It's a human altered environment that's really changed the playing field for ducks out there. When you're talking about Prairie Canada, you're talking about incredibly high predation rates and very, very low hatching rates of ducks. I mean, a lot of the areas that we've been studying over the last several years, the hatch rates have been, 3%, 4%, 5%, 6% of all the duck nest hatching, which is terrible. Oh. So for an area like that, predator management is really ripe. We're still tweaking and refining that program. So what we look at it as, it's a human caused alteration, and it requires that we feel, a solution and an intervention. And again, it's not an eradication program. Predators do play a vital role, but it's a, I like to say that we're leveling the playing field. Mm-hmm. We're trying to set the clock back a bit and creating an environment that waterfowl can be successful as a local population.
Well, I like to think of Delta as a trailblazer when it comes to conservation, because the thought of killing one species to ensure the survival of another is about as politically incorrect as you can possibly get when it comes to the yahoos over at PETA and, the Humane Society, etc. I mean, they already have a problem with hunting, and now we want to take out predators so that essentially we have more ducks to hunt. And of course, they fail to realize that when it comes down to it, we're all just conservationists. But then who gives a crap what they think? And they're probably not big fans of the show anyway, huh?
As you know, Cable, duck hunters, they're incredible conservationists. And one of the, as a waterfowl hunter, I mean, you're purchasing, federal duck stamps or state duck stamps, depending on where folks are from. And that money goes back onto the ground. It goes back in to support what you're doing in the first place. And one of the things about waterfowl hunters is, we crave abundance. And so our determination as waterfowl hunters is always to make sure that our ducks and geese are always abundant. I mean, that's amazing. We're not craving a rare species. We want mm-hmm. abundance, and that's a wonderful thing. And we recognize what we need to do to get there.
Yes, sir. Waterfowlers do like abundance, that's for sure. Joel, we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, let's get into some of the details about predator control, such as how many trappers work for you. Also, I'm interested to find out which predator is considered the most dangerous to our spring duck hatch. We'll be right back with more from Delta Waterfowl's Director of Conservation Programs, Joel Bryce, only on the Lone Star Outdoors Show. Take it while it comes, 'cause it don't last long. Hesitate and the moment's gone. Run in the rain and howl at the moon. Fall in love way too soon. Take my hand as the music starts. We'll dance to the beat of your heart.
Come experience the beef jerky outlet by the Bass Pro Shops in Garland. We carry the best jerkies, 8 different flavors of Sunland peanut butter, and a wide range of hot sauces and delicious salsas. Ever tried deep fried peanuts? They are so good you can eat the whole shell. We also have gourmet Wisconsin cheeses available to sample. You can also enjoy our edible crickets, worms, and scorpion suckers. So let the outdoorsman in you experience the beef jerky outlet for yourself. Check out our website at www.dallasjerky.com. Beef Jerky Outlet, located by the Bass Pro Shops in Garland.
Hey outdoorsmen, it's that time of year again. The wind is changing and the temps are rising, so let's put away the camo and guns and get the tackle box ready. We all know that you're familiar with Game Guard, the official camo of the Lone Star State. Well, they're at it again, and now they're making a real difference in the fishing apparel industry. Game Guard is bringing that same commitment to quality and technical apparel to those guys and gals on the water. Game Guard's vent back shirts are offered in 7 great colors and perform like no others. Game Guard is Texas-based, family-owned, and committed to their loyal customers. Fishermen have many choices when it comes to apparel, and Game Guard is dedicated to earning their business. So be sure to ask for Game Guard at your local hunting or fishing retailer, or go to www.gameguard.net. Game Guard, the official outdoor apparel of the Lone Star Outdoor Show. Cable Smith to tell you about one of the greatest hunting packages I've ever seen. My buddy Mike McKinney with WTHO is offering up a group trophy hunt near El Dorado. It includes 5 days of guided low fence hunting for up to 5 hunters. You get to harvest 4 trophy bucks, 8 does, 4 turkeys, and cull bucks. All that for only 11 grand. The package also includes lodging, meals, and game cleaning. 5 hunters, 5 days on the hunt of a lifetime. Visit westtexashuntorg.com or call Mike at 915-328-0645. That's Mike McKinney at 915-328-0645.
Outdoorsmen are always looking for the best way to prepare our meats, and that's why you should check out Smokin' Tex. Smokin' Tex builds fully electric, portable, stainless steel ovens that are built to last. We feature amazing customer service with an industry-best 2-year warranty. Visit us at www.smokin'tex.com for the easiest way to gently cook moist and tender brisket, ribs, chicken, fish, and wild game. Prep the food, load the oven, add wood, set the temperature, and walk away. The static air environment locks in the flavor for you. Call 888-922-1511 or visit us at smokin'tex.com and tell them you heard about it on the Lone Star Outdoor Show for an exclusive special.
Razorback Ranch is earning a reputation as the premier wild boar hunting destination in Texas. Located between Dallas and Houston in Crockett, we are the perfect weekend getaway. Family-friendly with a game room and flat-screen TVs in the cabins, our accommodations are top-notch. Select boars ranging from 60 to 200 pounds to bow or rifle hunt. Hunters are welcome to hunt hogs at feeders or chase them through creek bottoms and heavy brush. Call 713-203-3860 or visit RazorbackRanch.com. That's RazorbackRanch.com to book your trophy hog hunt today. Whether you need lights for your boat, dock, or anything else, Wildcat Lighting is the answer. Our patent-pending LED lighting system is innovative and practical. Backed by a 1-year warranty, there isn't a brighter boat light on the market. Wildcat builds custom lighting systems for hunting, fishing, or recreational hobbies. So whether you're looking to bring in bait fish at night, show your bling on your wakeboat, or rest easy knowing that other boaters can always see you, Wildcat Lighting has the answer. Visit wildcatlighting.com to see the lights. That's wildcatlighting.com. Sand Bass and Guide Service provides the most action-packed fishing trips in North Texas. Guide Bob Lamarche specializes in sandies and stripers on Lake Louisville and sandies on beautiful Lake Ray Roberts. Bob provides all the tackle and cleans and bags your fish. Sand Bass fishing can be non-stop action and is ideal for getting kids out on the water. Sand Bass and Guide Service offers full and half-day trips. Want to beat the Texas heat? Book a night trip. Call Bob Lamarche at 469-328-7706 or check him out at www.sandbassguide.com. That's sandbassguide.com.
Let the band play Dixie. Let the balls drink whiskey.
All right, Jeremy Stedding, Let the Boys Drink Whiskey, bringing us back from break here on the Lone Star Outdoor Show. I'm Cable Smith. This segment is proudly brought to you by Outdoor Pro Shops in Garland, Dallas's largest and oldest archery store. Chuck and Alicia are good folks over there. They helped me get set up with my bow last week. I got a new Matthews Maniac, which I can't wait to get a little bloody. And in addition to everything you need for your bow and setup, they've also got a great indoor shooting range, so be sure to swing by Outdoor Pro Shops, conveniently located on Beltline Road in Garland. One other order of business before we pick it back up with Delta Waterfowl's Joel Bryce, as we're talking predator control here on the Lone Star Outdoors Show. The Lone Star chapter of Delta Waterfowl is having their 6th annual banquet Friday, August the 6th in Rockwall. There's an early bird special going on. Buy your tickets before next weekend, and you'll be entered into a $300 cash raffle. Buy your tickets early. Have a chance to win $300. And you can find all the information at www.texasdelta.org. Also, for the first person to text Delta to 214-289-7807, you'll win a couple's ticket for the banquet valued at $80. Just text Delta to 214-289-7807. Without further ado, let's dive back into our predator control conversation with Delta Waterfowl's Director of Conservation Programs, Joel Bryce. Joel, how many trappers are actually out there on the front lines removing these predators from the nesting grounds?
To date, in this spring, the number is only four this year, and the reasons are compound. You know, as we talked about earlier, you know, you go back to 1994, and you go for, you know, a decade and a half, and we had tremendous success with the program as it was implemented. What we did is we targeted areas with very high duck numbers, but if you look at, you know, all these blocks were primarily 6 miles by 6 miles in size, or just a touch over 23,000 acres, and we were getting predictable results, a doubling to tripling of hatch rates, which were fantastic. But what we started to see here over the last probably 4 or 5 years is we started to see hatch rates in the Dakotas, not in Canada, but in the Dakotas. We started to see hatch rates climb all on their own without the intervention of predator management. And so, you know, areas that once had 10%, 15% hatch rates, you know, back in the 90s, 80s and 90s, in the middle 2000s, we're starting to see those areas having 20, 30, and 40% all on their own. So, you know, again, our guys were still increasing nest success, no doubt about it. But in all honesty, we took a look at our program and said, these aren't the areas that we need to be working in because they're doing well on their own. We felt there are areas out there that aren't doing well on their own. So what we did is we still identified areas in the Dakotas that have, they still do, they have extremely high breeding populations of ducks, yet we needed to target areas that, like I said, weren't doing well on their own. And what we have found is that those areas on that 36 square mile size have maybe only 5 or 10% grass, nesting cover in comparison to the 40% nesting cover that we used to have. And so what we found is, you know, we found those areas in the Dakotas that have extremely low nest success. And we're researching this new aspect of predator management. So that's forced us to downscale, again, focus on this aspect of the program. And what it's doing is it's allowing us to be responsible and reactive to habitat conditions and predator conditions. And it might bait the question, why were those hatch rates on the rise naturally in the Dakotas? And I'll be honest with you, it comes down to two things. It comes down to CRP and it comes down to red fox. The number one nest predator, if you're looking at an individual animal out there, the number one most effective nest predator is the red fox. And we had an episode of mange, sarcoptic mange. It came through the prairies a number of years ago and basically decimated the red fox population, removed that animal from the system over the majority of the breeding range in the United States, and also CRP. You know, starting in 1985, CRP came to be, and when the water came back to the prairies, the duck boom, I mean, you're talking 2 million new ducks every year as a result of CRP, but one of the things that CRP did, you know, with 5 million new acres in the United States, it spread out the ducks. And it spread out the duck nests and it spread out the predators. And it took some time for that response to happen, but we think, you know, with CRP on the landscape and red fox gone, that's what allowed the hatch rates to shoot up again. And two things are for certain. Red fox are going to come back and those predation rates are going to climb again. But then also, you know, the future of CRP is greatly uncertain. You know, there's been over 1 million acres gone, fast approaching 2 million acres gone from North and South Dakota alone. So the world's fixing to change back to what it was in the 1990s. So what we're going to have is a program that can adapt to the conditions and raise ducks every year, no matter what the grass or water or predator community dictates.
Well, that answers my question about which predator you view as the most dangerous to the duck hatch, and that's obviously the red fox. But let's talk about raccoons. You know, the landscape up in your neck of the woods in the Dakotas and the Prairie Pothole region has forever changed. Gone are wolves and bears, and now raccoons are a serious issue as well. And most people, most hunters, probably don't even realize that raccoons haven't always been found in such strong numbers that far north. So is the raccoons' expanding range dictated solely by agriculture?
It is. It is, definitely. I mean, if you go back, I mean, there's some reports way back when they were present in extremely small numbers years and years and years ago. but they were primarily restricted to waterways like the Missouri River, you know, where they had, where there were travel corridors, winter, you know, trees and along that river system. But certainly what allowed them to expand their range is agriculture. You know, with agriculture came windbreaks, shelter belts, tree rows, farms, active farms, and then therefore abandoned farms, rock piles, all kinds of things all kinds of denning areas that weren't there previously. But then also food sources. You know, we think of a raccoon sitting by a shore eating a clam or a crayfish or a fish, but washing their food, you know, kind of that that glamorous, that cute aspect of raccoons. But they're omnivores. They eat about anything they can. They eat a lot of waste grain. And so, you know, this landscape is so much more favorable to raccoons and skunks than it was, you know, decades or centuries ago.
So those are the main three culprits: raccoons, striped skunks, and the red fox.
Yeah. In today's predator community, raccoons and striped skunks, they're probably 80% of the predators out there as far as numbers.
Well, there's always going to be that natural predator-prey relationship, but I applaud Delta for stepping up to the plate. You see, a man-made problem with the increased agriculture means more predators, and now Delta has a man-made solution with the Predator Control Program. Joel, something that's all over Delta's website are the words habitat threshold. And for all of us non-wildlife biologists out there like myself, can you explain habitat threshold and what role it plays in predator management and nest success rates?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of been a moving target, but the idea, the concept behind habitat threshold is, it's kind of the needle in the haystack theory. Huge haystack, it's going to be hard to find that needle. Small haystacks can be easy to find the needle, and the same thing goes for ducks. Ducks nest in grass. So if there's enough grass on the landscape to disperse the duck nests, it'll also disperse the predator population, and then by default, nest hatching rates of ducks is going to be high. Now, if you have very little grass on the landscape, you're going to compress your predator population and your duck population into the same small strips of grass, and ducks are going to lose every time. So the habitat threshold is that point where there's enough grass out there where ducks can hatch at a rate that'll maintain their local population. So that's the habitat threshold. And, you know, 10 years ago, the habitat threshold was probably 35 to 40% of a township being grass. So if 35 to 40% of all the acres in a 36-square-mile area were grass, then you'd probably have a break-even nesting effort. And it would maintain your local population from year to year. It wouldn't grow it, wouldn't shrink it. And so, you know, the goal for putting grass on the landscape is to meet that habitat threshold at least, but hopefully to move beyond that habitat threshold, realizing that some areas are never going to meet it, so you need to overcompensate. But the premise behind the trapping, how that is goes back to the trapping program, is it is darn hard to find 35 to 40% grass on a landscape. It's hard to find that all over the prairies. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in our current mode, we're targeting areas that are far below the habitat threshold. And in the 1990s and early 2000s, we were targeting the threshold, break-even areas that we could take from break-even and give them significant gains. So, yeah, the habitat threshold dictates pretty much what everybody does out here on the prairies. You know, you want to build up your grass base or hit areas that you're not going to be able to build up your grass base with more intensive tools like trapping, like artificial nesting structures, like our henhouse mallard nesting structure and things like that.
Joel, Delta never stops researching and using science to further their conservation effort. And that even extends into the predators that are collected. Talk about some of the studies that have been conducted on these specimens collected by your hired trappers.
Yep. Yeah, we have it written right into a standard contract that we may need these specimens for various research projects. You know, one in years past, you know, there was a stomach content study where that was the basis of the project, was to see what animals like raccoons were eating in a given year, how much of their diet consisted of ducks and waste grain from agriculture, you name it. One of the more recent studies that we did involving the trappers collecting specimens, it was in southwest Manitoba, and disease in raccoons is a real issue. A lot of Canadian provinces, the very low rural populations and very high urban populations. And in those urban settings, disease from raccoons is a real issue. So there was interest in seeing what the incidence rates of disease or prevalence of rates of disease were in the rural raccoon population. And so our trappers, they kept everything from the brain to the lungs all the way through the digestive tract, and those specimens were sent in for analysis.
So I guess in closing, Joel, the goal for Delta's predator control program is to have something that isn't static, that evolves from year to year based on specific needs.
Correct. It's one of those things is Mother Nature, the one thing that's really become evident is Mother Nature doesn't wait for you to complete a study. Things are always changing. Water conditions, grass conditions, predator communities, things are always changing. And what you're seeing is that same thing happening with our predator management work. You know, we're in the process of creating a program that we hope can be delivered under any conditions. You're definitely seeing that. But our goal is to, you know, we're committed to developing this, you know, carrying out this research and hopefully developing a program that can do just that.
Well, I applaud Delta Waterfowl for being a trailblazer and going out there and doing something that no one else had and sticking to your guns. I think it's great. And basically, I appreciate you guys looking out for our interests down here in Texas, making sure that we still have something to hunt when waterfowl season rolls around. Joel, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, appreciate it, Cable. Thanks again for your time and letting us share our information.
It's been my pleasure. Everyone, be sure to check out deltawaterfowl.org. If you're not a member, go ahead and join. You'll also get a great magazine with your membership. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll visit with the world's best bass angler, Kevin Van Dam, stops by only on the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
The soft southern winds and the live oak trees, and those Williams boys, they still mean a lot to me. Hank in Tennessee, I guess we're all gonna be what we're gonna be. So what do you do with good old boys like me?
Cable Smith here to tell you about my buddy Steve Pebley over at Cooper Lake Guide Service. Fabulous state parks and lodging combined with almost no fishing pressure or boat traffic has caused Cooper Lake to become one of the best hybrid and white bass destinations in Texas. With over a decade of experience on Cooper, Steve knows the lake like the back of his hand. So to learn lake info, see videos and pictures, and learn Steve's best hotspots and waypoints, go to www.cooperlakeguide.net. Or to book a one-of-a-kind fishing trip with my buddy Steve Pebley, call 214-240-0801. That's 214-240-0801.
We all need a friend in the gun business, and that's why you should check out B&S Guns. Family owned and operated since 1987, we offer a lifetime warranty on all firearm purchases. At B&S, we have a gunsmith on staff at all times, and our 5,000 square foot building contains all your hunting and firearm needs. Open 7 days a week, we specialize in Nikon, Leopold, Browning, Remington, Swarovski, Benelli, Zeiss, and many more. Conveniently located in Garland, call 972-226-1816 or visit bsgunstore.com. That's bsgunstore.com.
Hey everybody, this is Brian Spagnol from TexasMotorCars.com. I'm here today to tell you about the best place in Texas to shop for your next vehicle. TexasMotorCars.com is a family-owned and operated business located in Addison, Texas. We have a huge inventory of pre-owned vehicles and specialize in trucks and SUVs. Please visit TexasMotorCars.com today. Come see me, Brian Spagnola. Our phone number is 972-481-1660.
Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers is running a huge special on all trailers in stock. From four-wheeler trailers to heavy-duty equipment trailers, we have a trailer for every occasion. We also sell and install the widest selection of CM truck beds in the state of Texas. Special orders and trade-ins are welcome, and we have easy financing available. Stop by one of our conveniently located stores in Aubrey, Fort Worth, or Rockwall, or visit us on the web at www.bigtextrailerworld.com. Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn. Call 817-654-9220 today.
Are you looking for the perfect place to send your hunting buddy? Then check out Tioga Retrievers. With over 20 years experience, Angie and Tim Becker can provide you with a field champion or a well-rounded hunting companion. Tioga Retrievers takes pride in catering to the needs of each owner and their dog. Conveniently located 45 miles north of DFW in Aubrey, Texas, Tioga Retrievers also offers day training and boarding. Call 940-440-0018 or visit them online at www.tiogaretrievers.com. That's Tioga Retrievers.com.
Hey, outdoorsmen, deer and turkey seasons have come and gone, but there are still plenty of huge boars out there. And when you take one down, call Texas European Mounts for the perfect way to show off your trophy feral hog. Or maybe you're looking for a beautiful plaque to show off your spring gobbler. Well, they have a full lineup of fan mounting kits, too. Check out www.texaseuropeanmounts.com or give Jacob a call at 940-631-4334. That's texaseuropeanmounts.com.
Have a hog problem at your ranch or deer lease? We have the solution. The System Hog Trap comes in two sizes, 17-foot and 30-foot diameter traps. After you trap the hogs, take the top section off the trap and use it for another feeder site to keep the hogs away from the feeder. The system is both a trap and a deer food plot fence. That way you don't waste your money on just a hog trap. Call 940-391-3669 or check out the website at www.goinfencing.com. That's G-I-O-N-fencing.com or call 940-391-3669 today.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 5-pound bass.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Dance, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Up this morning before the sun, fix me some coffee.
All right, Robert Earl Keen, 5-pound bass, bringing us back from break here. I'm Cable Smith, and I can't think of a more fitting introduction for a man who's probably caught more 5-pound bass than all of us will probably catch in our lifetimes. He's first all-time on the BASS money list. He's won 3 Bassmaster Classic titles. He's a 5-time Toyota Angler of the Year, Kevin Van Dam. Thanks for joining the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Oh, glad to be here.
Well, you better believe I am glad to have you. Let's talk a little bit about your upbringing and the role that hunting and fishing played in your childhood. Who's responsible for getting you started in the outdoors?
Well, that would be my dad for sure. You know, he took me fishing when I was 3 years old, the very first time. And I have an older brother, too. And so he, you know, he really not only took us, but my 2 sisters, and we fished. And then I really... you know, got into hunting at a pretty early age too, because he was taking my brother and stuff like that. And so I was like the dog. We didn't have a hunting dog or anything, but they'd send me into the briar patches to kick out rabbits and pheasants and things like that. And then, you know, later on it turned into deer hunting and stuff. But we had a cabin up in northern Michigan, and we spent a lot of weekends up there where we, you know, we did everything from mushroom hunting in the spring to, you know, trout fishing, bass fishing, deer hunting, squirrel hunting, you know, just spent a lot of time, you know, there. And then, you know, we had motorcycles and snowmobiles. So we just really, you know, every weekend was kind of like we did something outdoors, you know. I mean, a lot of people go camping and stuff, but, you know, we kind of did the same thing just out of a small rustic cabin.
Sounds like a pretty good childhood to me. Kevin, what is your most memorable fishing experience growing up in Michigan?
Probably what I look forward to more than anything was my dad had a construction company. And every year around Memorial Weekend, we take his guys up to Lake Leelanau, to lake up in the northern part of the state, for a long weekend smallmouth trip. And, you know, he took my brother before I got to go, and he just said, hey, you know, you got to be at least 7 years old to go. And, you know, because we fish all day long, and, you know, it was a good time. We'd, you know, have a big cookout at night and things like that, and a bonfire, and smallmouth fish during the day. So, I mean, I waited and waited and see the pictures from my brother, you know, going. And finally, when I was 7, I got to go, and I just remember the first smallmouth bass I ever caught. It wasn't a very big one, but, you know, it was just a barely legal keeper, like 1-pounder. Mm-hmm. And I just remember how hard it fought and you know, how hard it pulled. And I've, you know, ever since then, I've really been a big-time smallmouth fan. I love catching them still to this day. And I, believe it or not, I still probably fish that lake, you know, at least once a year, you know, where my dad took me for that very first trip. So without a doubt, that's an easy, easy memory.
And now you probably take your own kiddos up there.
Yep, absolutely. It's in northern Michigan near Traverse City, and it's one of our favorite places to go as a family. I mean, there's a lot to do up there. There's sand dunes and a lot of lakes and different things. It's just a real pretty, pretty area to be at. And you know, the water's crystal clear, and the smallmouth are big, so.
Well, it sounds amazing. Kevin, what angler did you idolize growing up?
You know, really quite a few of them. The first guy that I ever really paid close attention to was Virgil Ward, because that was the only TV show, you know, fishing TV show when I was little that we could get. So I always watched Virgil Ward and Championship Fishing, and you know, he did a lot of fishing in Missouri and things like that. And you know, it kind of started there. And then I really got into you know, bass fishing and the Bassmasters. And you know, I watched, you know, Roland Martin and Hank Parker and Bill Dance and Jimmy Houston and all those guys. And then, you know, started following the tournaments more. And it, you know, then it was Rick Klon and Larry Nixon and Tommy Martin and a lot of those guys that you know, were fishing, mm-hmm. you know, back in the, you know, 80s and things like that, when I started to start fish tournaments and things like that.
If you could take anyone fishing, dead or alive, doesn't matter, who would it be and why?
You know, I've got to fish with a lot of really neat people. You know, I fished with both the Bushes, you know, before multiple times, and I fished with a lot of different celebrities and professional athletes and things like that. And you know, it's every different one of them is pretty interesting in itself. But what's fun to me is just to, you know, to allow them to, you know, experience what I get to do on a regular basis. And I think it'd be really cool to be a Major League Baseball player, or, you know, NBA player or whatever. But I really am not that good at it. You know, I know a lot of NASCAR drivers, and to me, what they do is amazing. And when these people see, you know, somebody that makes a living at fishing, and their idea of fishing is, you know, to go out and have a good time, and it's a, you know, kind of a casual sport, and they see, you know, all there is to it and the intensity, it's, you know, they have the same appreciation I do for what they do.
And out of all those professional athletes and NASCAR drivers that you have gotten to fish with, who was the best fisherman?
You know, a lot of the race car drivers are pretty good fishermen. You know, Martin Truex is, he's a good fisherman without a doubt. I mean, I got to know him through the Bass Pro sponsorship when they sponsored him in the number one car up until this year. And he can fish pretty well. Ryan Newman's another good friend of mine, Tony Stewart. The thing about most of these athletes like that, they're just, you know, extremely, extremely busy, and they don't get to spend the time, you know, like I do to mm-hmm. fish. Or, you know, I mean, it's like a professional golfer. I mean, to get as good as those guys are, it takes a lot of time. And fishing's somewhat the same way. I mean, you can, you can be pretty decent at it, but you can just, what I like is, you know, to see the passion they have and how much they enjoy doing it and they appreciate it, you know, when you go on a good fishing trip. You know, I mean, a couple of years ago, for instance, I took Ryan Newman up to Northern Michigan smallmouth fishing, and, you know, it was a good day. We had really, really nice weather, and we caught, I think, 80 or so in an afternoon. And that's a pretty good day, but it's not outstanding or anything. But to him, it was like, you know, setting the world on fire. You know, it's just an experience that, you know, he'd never got to do before. So, you know, that's when it's real fun.
Well, I'm with Ryan on that one. 80 smallies in one afternoon would definitely be considered setting the world on fire for me. Kevin, on your blog at kevinvandam.com, where, by the way, y'all can find lots of good information, fishing tips, and great products, you sign off every blog post with the words, "Remember, it's all in the attitude." Break that down for me. Are those just words to live by, or is that a philosophy of thinking that you are the best every time that you go out there?
To me, it's, you know, you just have to be positive and not, you know, some people dwell on negatives. And a big thing for me is I try to never worry about variables that are out of my control. You know, I can't worry about the weather or if somebody's going to be on your fishing spot, or, you know, if the bass are going to change their location where they're at or anything like that, you know, or what some other competitor might catch on that tournament day, you know. So to me, it's just kind of more of a philosophy and always focus on the positive and remember that, you know, I mean, if you believe good things are going to happen, usually they do.
So you're a glass half full kind of guy.
Oh, my glass is full.
Well, with 3 Bassmaster Classic titles, 5 Angler of the Year titles, and being number one on the all-time money list, it's safe to say that your glass is not only full, but you're also the world's best bass fisherman. So what's the first thing you look for in an area to decide if it's holding active fish? Temperature, forage, structure, depth, which is the first thing you look for?
Well, they're all really important. The biggest thing for me is to really look at the seasonal pattern, or, you know, what time of the year that I'm there and what, you know, mode the fish should be in, and then really assessing the current conditions, current weather, water conditions, you know, the temperature, water clarity, water levels, things like that, just to decide, you know, what might be the best, you know, starting point based on those current conditions and that, you know, general seasonal pattern that the fish should be in. Okay. So there's a lot to it. You know, bass fishing is a science that's far from exact. And, you know, I learn every day that I'm out there on the water and, you know, continually will. I mean, that's the different thing about it is, you know, you don't know for sure that the fish are there. You can't see them. You can't tell. It's, you know, it's a lot of guessing. And you can pull from past experiences and say, well, hey, you know, based on these conditions and, you know, I've caught them this way or on this spot before, but it's not always that way. And, you know, that to me, that challenge is what really makes it fun.
Kevin, we had Bill Dance on the show a couple weeks ago, and he had only the nicest things to say about you. He also mentioned y'all had dinner the night before day 4 of this year's Classic. He said you sounded a bit concerned because you pretty much beat your fish to death. Did you ever consider leaving for a different area of Lay Lake on day 4?
Well, you know, I just was going to see how the day had went. I had a lot of confidence in where I was at and that it would, you know, continually replenish just because of the type of area that it was. But, you know, if it would have got to about 11 o'clock and I hadn't had anything, I definitely had several other areas that I felt confident to, you know, to be able to go to and get some bites. But, you know, the morning started out fairly quick, you know, not too long into it, I caught a real good one. And that first good bite just told me everything I needed to know, because the day before was a little bit tougher and I didn't get any big bites. But when I caught that good one first thing in the morning, I knew that new fish were coming there and I just had to catch them in it. And that's exactly what happened. Just kind of stayed in there and worked hard at it and grounded out and caught a real good stringer and it was enough to win.
Yeah, we actually had Jeff Crete on the show the weekend after the Classic, in which he lost to you in heartbreaking fashion after he was leading pretty much the whole way. But, you know, he had only admiration for you and pretty much said that he didn't lose that tournament. You beat him by pulling in that huge stringer on day 4. And so now you're sitting there with 3 Bassmaster Classic titles, trailing only Ricky Klun, who has 4. So is catching up to Ricky the next thing on your to-do list?
Well, you know, I try to win every time I go out there, but I don't look and say, well, hey, I'm going for this record or I'm looking for this title. You know, I just go out there and try to do the best I can every single event, every season. You know, I love it. I mean, I love what I do, and, you know, I take it extremely seriously and I put a lot of time and effort into it. And, you know, it's the competition really motivates me and what really drives me. And we're lucky in our sport to have a lot of really good people involved. You know, it's that's the one thing that I'd say that's different about professional fishing than a lot of other sports is, you know, guys like Jeff Crete, like you said, you know, I get along great with them. I mean, we talk, we eat dinner at night. I mean, and generally speaking, everybody really gets along real well. I mean, yeah, we want to beat each other on the water, but, you know, off the water, everybody's a good friend. We help each other out, do things, and it's a real good group. You know, you spend so much time with a lot of these people, it's like a second family, you know. So it makes it a lot easier, you know, all the time away and on the road when, you know, when the guys you're out there with are your friends too.
Yeah, you guys do seem like a pretty close-knit group. Now, Kevin, if you were stranded on an island and you could only have one lure and one lure only, which one would it be and why?
You know what? I'd probably have to say, you know, a plastic worm. If you want something that you can fish all depths and all times of the year, and people ask me that all the time. Unfortunately, I guess I can go out there and pick anything you want. You know, if you had a tournament where you said, oh, I'm going to have one rod and one lure, and that's it, it would be real tough.
Kevin, as we mentioned, you won your 3rd Bassmaster Classic title this year, but the Elite Series didn't start off so hot for you. You've turned it around, though, with a win at Kentucky Lake and then a 6th place finish at Sooner Run. You now head into the postseason in fourth place with a great shot at an Angler of the Year three-peat. What was the biggest factor in turning your season around?
Well, you know, I mean, I didn't really do anything different, you know, in the last two events that I did before, but a lot of times it's just one little something changes and things just go your way. And, you know, you see it in lots of sports where momentum builds momentum. You know, if you have one good day, it's easier to go up and have another good day the next day. But Kentucky Lake has been a real good body of water for me over the years. You know, I had a lot of confidence going in there, and I knew it's when I had to make it happen. And I was trying up to that point to do that at every event. Believe me, it's not that I was doing anything different, but, you know, with the history that I have there and the confidence that I have fishing in the summertime, fishing offshore structure like that, it just worked out real well for me.
Well, we hope that you keep it up. Who's your best friend on the Elite Series?
I have two guys that I stay with all the time and have for the last 4 or 5 years, and that's Davey Height and Scott Rook. Davey's from South Carolina, and I got to know him quite a few years ago when we, you know, fished against each other and stuff like that. Davey won the Classic and stuff, and Scott, I, you know, got to know more recently. But we spend a lot of time together. We usually try to rent a house and things, and it works out real good because we help each other out, and we all take turns cooking and things like that, and just try to make it a little more like home when we're out on the road.
Other than yourself, who do you think is the best bass fisherman on the Elite Series?
You know, there are some exceptional talent out there. The last few years, it's, you know, Skeet has just done a fantastic job. Seems like, you know, every year we're going head-to-head for Angler of the Year, and a lot of tournaments we're going head-to-head against each other and stuff like that. He's fishing at a high level and has for the last few years, you know what I mean? But there's a lot of guys that, you know, have the talent, but it's just so hard to be consistent, and, you know, that's what's amazing about what he's done.
Yep, Skeet is sitting atop the Angler of the Year standings as we speak, so I expect a pretty good battle between the two of y'all with the postseason looming at the end of this month. Kevin, what technique do you have the most success with when targeting large females and trying to pull them off their spawning beds and into your live well?
You know what? I probably catch more fish when they're spawning on a tube than anything else. It's just, it's got a lot of action to it because it's hollow. You can, you know, put sand in it, you know, things like that. And there's a lot of colors available. And it's just, it's over the years, it's been my go-to bait when I'm sight fishing.
What's getting the most play in KVD's iPod?
You know what? I don't even have my iPod with me. I have a Sirius satellite radio. Mm-hmm. I spend a lot of time on ESPN and listen to NASCAR a lot. Again, I have a lot of friends that drive, and so I follow that pretty close. I'm more of a sports talk, things like that.
Well, I understand that you and the family are actually on your way to a little weekend on the lake on a houseboat. I guess it's only fitting that Kevin Van Dam would head to the lake for vacation.
Yeah, we're definitely into the outdoors, and we have some friends of ours too that are going, so we've got a pretty good group of us, and it makes for fun. You know, we're going to do a little bit of everything, do some fishing, do some water sports, things like that, a lot of swimming, and just really kind of relaxing.
Well, I hope that you and the fam have a safe and fun 4th of July weekend. A special thanks to Strike King Lures for making this possible. Kevin, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, buddy.
I'm glad to do it. We'll have to do it again.
Well, good luck earning your third straight Angler of the Year title at this month's Elite Series postseason, which begins the 24th in Montgomery, Alabama's River Region. We'll be pulling for you, man. Thanks again.
Okay, man, thanks.
Well, there he goes. I contend that there really is no argument when it comes to the world's best bass angler, Kevin Van Dam. And I really do hope he pulls it off and gets the three-peat coming up here at the end of the month. I'm sure that Kevin needs a new Toyota pickup like he needs a hole in his head, but he could always send it my way. I'd be happy to take it off his hands. Well, we're about out of time this morning. Next week, we're going to visit with Inland Fisheries Director Gary Saul or CCA's Director Robbie Byers. That may be more pertinent with Hurricane Alex threatening the Gulf Coast. So we'll have one of them on. We'll also visit with Pawn Stars Chumley. And what does that have to do with hunting? not a whole lot, but Chumlee does get to fire some of the coolest and oldest weapons on this planet. So we're going to visit with Chumlee. If you haven't seen Pawn Stars, it's a great educational show on the History Channel. Be sure to check it out. Thanks to our guests this morning, Joel Bryce of Delta Waterfowl, and of course, Kevin Van Dam. Thanks to all of our sponsors for making this show possible. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of the Lone Star Outdoor Show. Everybody have a safe and fun 4th of July weekend. I'm Cable Smith saying y'all have a great week in the outdoors.
Think Hank done it this way.